Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we turn to the first letter of St. John, the fifth chapter, beginning with the fourth verse, reading this morning in the English Standard Version. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So far, the Holy Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, whose victory we celebrate again, especially during this Easter season, dear fellow redeemed. If you're a Christian, if you travel in Christian circles and read Christian literature, you're bound to run across the term overcomer. In fact, you'll probably find yourself encountering that term every time you turn around. There are Christian schools whose athletic teams are called the Overcomers. There's a sports stadium in Memphis called the World Overcomer Life Center. There's even a Christian costume company that rents an adult-sized costume of a character called Overcomer Dog, which, looking at the photograph online, looked a little like McGruff the Crime Dog to me, only without the trench coat. Why so much talk among Christians about overcomers? Well, it's because the Bible uses this term quite frequently. You'll especially encounter the term in the writings of the Apostle John. He uses it frequently, especially in his gospel, his first epistle, and in the book of Revelations. Whatever an overcomer is, it must be something pretty good. For instance, we hear our Lord Jesus say in the book of Revelation, "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Wow. Whatever that is, I want to be one of those. You probably feel the same way. Well, the Apostle John explains the whole thing here in the fifth chapter of his first epistle. And this Easter season we're in right now is the very best time to talk about this subject, because it is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus that enables us to achieve the exalted status of overcomer. Our theme this morning is a question. What is an Easter overcomer? Two things. It's someone who believes the testimony about Christ, and it's someone who receives eternal life through Christ. The first question, of course, is an obvious one. Overcomes what? What is it that an Easter overcomer overcomes? Well, John's answer is the world. It's a broad term, the world, that encompasses everything that opposes a Christian's life of faith. Everything in your life that holds you back. Everything that tempts you to sin. Everything that makes you disappointed or frightened. Everything that interferes with the kind of life God wants you to live. A joyful, victorious Christian life, rich in the fruits of faith. Can you think of anything in your life right now that would fall into that category? I can. I've got a whole list. If you do too, then take heart, because John says that as a Christian, you can and will overcome all those things. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What is an Easter overcomer? First of all, it's someone who believes the testimony about Christ. When John says the victory that overcomes the world, he's actually making a rather clever play on words, because in the Greek language, the noun victory and the verb overcome, they're almost identical. It'd be the same as if we were to say something in English like the triumph that triumphs or the conquest that conquers. John's emphasizing the fact that there's one thing that allows us to overcome the world, our Christian faith. An Easter overcomer is someone who believes the testimony about Christ. Does that sound easy to you? It's not. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, it would be absolutely impossible. Christian faith is a miracle worked only by God. It also is a huge commitment. Some people don't understand what a great commitment is required by people who are disciples of Jesus. A very practical man once wrote, "I think I have either too much religion or too little. I must either give up what I have or get more, for I have too much religion to let me enjoy a worldly life and too much worldliness to do justice to my religion." And it's really true that you can't be a part-time Christian. It's all or nothing. I've run into people frequently who have told me that their Christian faith was moderately important in their life. Moderately important. Think about that for a minute. That statement is absurd. How can belief in Jesus Christ be just moderately important? Either Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God from eternity, who came down and died for our sins and came back from the dead the third day, or he isn't. If he is, and the Christian faith is true, then it's the most important thing in the world, obviously. But if the Christian faith is false, then it's the least important thing. One or the other. To say that it's moderately important really isn't an option. So an overcomer is someone who has this total commitment, this faith commitment to Jesus Christ. John asks, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And if you'll bear with me for a moment, I'd like to touch briefly on a false teaching that some people raise in connection with this passage. Some use this and similar passages to overthrow the doctrine of church fellowship, which tells us who we should and should not worship with. They say, let's all get together. Even though we teach differently on a lot of things like the sacraments and conversion and the end times, etc., 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 it's still okay for us to worship together, to pray together, to commune together, as long as we all believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But if you consider that for a bit, you'll realize that that statement doesn't make sense. For instance, just because you say Jesus is the Son of God, does that mean you're allowed to say that Jesus didn't die for your sins? Obviously not. Just because someone says that Jesus is the Son of God, are you free to teach that he didn't really rise from the dead? Obviously not. You wouldn't worship with such a person. Scripture says, mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. That means every doctrine. It's important to understand that John's phrase here, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that phrase is like an icon or a placeholder. It stands for all the teachings of God's word, not just the doctrine of Christ's deity. One author put it this way, the truth that Jesus is the Son of God is not one article of our faith, but the sum of all of them. Not a piece of the gospel, but the whole gospel. We should not imagine that the truth can be cut out in pieces and that we can deny this or that or even many pieces and still be true to the Father and to his Son and to God's children. An Easter overcomer is someone who believes that all of the truths of God's word are precious and inviolable. As we read on in our text, you'll notice that John takes up a lot of space talking about testimony. You put yourself back in John's time, you can understand why that was so important. In our day and age, courtrooms have a lot of different kinds of evidence, don't they? DNA evidence, videotape, fingerprints. They didn't have any of that back in John's time. They only had one kind of evidence, witnesses. And it was crucial that the witnesses in a case all agree. That's why John says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." This testimony agrees together, and it is true. It proves to us that Jesus is the Son of God, who came to earth to redeem mankind. An Easter overcomer is someone who accepts this testimony about Jesus in childlike faith. What water, blood, and spirit is the Apostle John referring to here? Well, ask yourself, what water, blood, and spirit was it that proved Jesus to be the Son of God and the Savior of mankind? What water, if not the water of Jesus' baptism at the beginning of his ministry, when the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and the voice of the Father was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." What blood, if not the blood that Jesus poured out on Calvary to redeem each of us from our sins at the end of his ministry, when he said from the cross, "It is finished," and completed the work of our salvation? What spirit is meant here, if not the spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that great birthday of the New Testament Christian church? That spirit that is still poured out today in every believer who enters the kingdom of God. Water, blood, and spirit, all three of these witnesses agree together. And an Easter overcomer is a person who accepts that witness, who receives it and believes it in childlike faith. Many people don't, however. For a lot of people, that testimony does not convince them. What our text says about those people is frightening. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Think about that for a moment. God went to all the trouble to provide a way of escape for mankind. He sacrificed his only Son, Jesus, to redeem them. And then he provided all this witness to convince people that this salvation is true. If you reject that testimony, what are you really doing? You're calling God, Almighty God, a liar. What a terrible punishment will be reserved in eternity for people who do that. People who have heard the testimony about Jesus Christ and rejected it. People at whose hearts the Holy Spirit has knocked and received no answer. The writer of the Hebrews issues a chilling warning. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Well, up until now, John's been talking about this testimony, the powerful witnesses to it, and why we ought to believe it. Now he lays out the content of that testimony, what that testimony contains. And this is the testimony, he says, that God gave us eternal life and that this life is in his Son. And that brings us to the second point. What's an Easter overcomer? Yes, it's someone who believes the testimony about Christ and thereby, through faith, receives salvation through Christ. This, of course, is the truth that makes this Easter season we're in right now the happiest and most joyful of all seasons of the Christian church year. But even here, there's a hint of warning. It comes right in the last passage of our text for today. I wonder if you noticed it. John says, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." You know, it's not politically correct to say so, but the Christian faith is a very exclusive religion, isn't it? In the Christian faith, there is only one very specific way that a human being can be saved from eternal suffering, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. But that's not what most people think. Most people you talk to think that nearly everybody is going to heaven. Is that what the Bible says? Did Jesus say many are called and many are chosen? No, our Lord said many are called, but few are chosen. Most people think it doesn't matter what religion you are as long as you're a person of faith. There are many different paths to the same God, many different ways to achieve salvation. Is that what the Bible says? That the way to salvation is broad and there are a lot of people who find it? Our Lord Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Not many, only a few. Only a few will overcome and receive eternal life. Only those, namely, who receive it through Jesus Christ. My dear friends, here's my advice to you this Easter season. Get down on your knees and thank your gracious God that you belong to that group. You are among those who have the Son by faith. By faith, his righteousness belongs to you. By faith, his blood has covered your sins. This Easter season, offer up your praise and your thanks to God that you are an Easter overcomer. By the way, it's interesting that the Apostle John uses the present tense in Greek here in this passage. It indicates clearly that he's talking about an ongoing process. As a Christian, you are overcoming the world every day. You are winning. You may not have reached the finish line yet, but in Christ, victory is already within your grasp. What a joy that is. What a joy to know that you're winning. It's like having a 10-run lead in a softball game or making a grand slam in bridge. You haven't won the game yet, but you know that victory will certainly be yours. What a great feeling. Likewise, the empty tomb of our Savior Jesus assures us that we will cross the finish line victorious. We too will rise one day to everlasting life. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Author Alistair Brown tells of a favorite park of his that was near his home. He walked through it on his daily walk to work. And he would always pass by an old ancient oak tree, a very large tree, a familiar landmark. One day he noticed that a vine had grown up against its massive trunk. And each day as he passed it, he saw the vine grow and gradually encircled the tree until the entire tree was covered with leaves. It became obvious to him that this parasitic vine was going to choke the life out of that old oak tree. But the city maintenance crew noticed the vine as well, and one day they came by. They destroyed the vine with one clean cut through its thick, twisted base. That's all they did. Just that one cut. The vine still gripped the tree. But after a while, the leaves started to turn brown and wither, and then finally the branches themselves fell away. Sin is a parasitic vine that reaches its killing tendrils into the life of every person, not just on the outside, but on the inside too. Without rescue, we would all perish eternally. But Easter is the clean cut that kills the vine of sin. The empty tomb proclaims Christ's victory over sin and our victory as well. Yes, the creepers and the branches are still there. Sin still afflicts us and has some effect. But sin's power has been severed once and for all by the resurrection of our Savior from the dead. And gradually, sin's grip will dry up. And one day will fall away completely. What is an Easter overcomer? Someone like you. Someone for whom Christ has cut the vine of sin. Someone who believes the testimony about Christ and who has received eternal life through Christ. God grant that we may all be Easter overcomers, not just today, but tomorrow and for the rest of our lives until we meet our Savior in person on Judgment Day. Amen. Please rise.